Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner. This is a show about the motley world of money, business, and investing. Thanks for joining us this weekend. A lot of great things coming up this hour. We're going to talk about the business of Google. We're going to take your phone calls and have another installment of our game, Which is Bigger? But we kick things off this week by talking about the latest from the airline industry. Delta and Northwest Airlines filed for bankruptcy this past week. Just the latest setback for the airline industry. Here to provide some additional perspective on the economics of airlines and the economics of bankruptcy is Fool Radio economics contributor Charlie Whelan, the author of Naked Economics, Undressing the Dismal Science. He joins us, as always, from the NPR Bureau in Chicago. Charlie, welcome.
It's my pleasure.
Charlie, Delta and Northwest filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Let's begin by having you give the naked economics of Chapter 11.
Well, it's basically temporary protection from their creditors. So it's not a full-blown bankruptcy. They're not going to be selling off their assets, the planes and everything else, and going away. Instead, it basically provides a shield of protection from everybody, starting with the labor unions, payments to the pensions, contracts that they'd made for future airplane acquisitions. It basically kind of puts a hold on all of that. The hope, since it's a working bankruptcy, is they can then pare costs from their cost structure and come back leaner and meaner and potentially more profitable in the long run.
So the planes keep flying. Charlie Whelan can still take his Northwest jet to Honolulu.
I can still take my plane. I think that one of the really unfortunate things about the airline industry is that it's probably going to get worse for me at a time that it's already fairly bad. And I think this is one of the big trends we should talk about in the airline industry, is that there's a lot of talk that in the process of cutting costs, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to ramp down on labor even more. So they're going to look for wage concessions, and they're going to pare unprofitable routes, and they're going to cut back service people at the counter. And what already is an unpleasant flying experience with surly people behind the counter who've had their wages cut and long delays for security reasons and also because the airlines are cutting costs will probably get worse.
Two perhaps cynical questions occur to me at this point, Charlie. One is, does it make sense at some point for the U.S. government just to let one of these companies completely fail, go Chapter 7, not Chapter 11, and I don't know, maybe JetBlue and Southwest Air, profitable airlines, start to take over some of these routes?
I don't think that's a cynical question at all. I think it's an excellent question. You know, as I was pulling my notes together, I kind of made two columns. The first is tough business, the reasons it is hard to make money in the airline industry, and that applies to Northwest and Delta, but also to Southwest. And some of those are obviously the cost of jet fuel. If you look at Northwest, they're spending almost 50% more this year on fuel than they were last year for all the reasons the rest of us are paying more. You've got an exploding asset. So as soon as that plane takes off, if the seat's not full, you get no revenue. Compare that to, say, selling a dress at Neiman Marcus. If it doesn't sell at $900, you mark it down to $800, $700, and eventually you're going to sell it. You don't have that luxury with an airline. So it's the pricing models are more complex. And, of course, there's also a mechanism going on now that the bankruptcies tend to breed bankruptcies, is that once United goes into bankruptcy and gets rid of its pension obligations, then that becomes a relative cost disadvantage for all the carriers that haven't gotten rid of their pension plans. But there's a second column, and I think this gets to your question, which is problems they brought on themselves. And even the jet fuel one, there was a note in the paper today that Southwest successfully hedged 85% of its fuel commitments this year. You can do that with the futures market. So I think there's an awful lot of bad management out there, and an important distinction between those carriers that came about before deregulation, that kind of were born in an era where the government would tell you how much you could charge, guarantee a profit, and you just kind of deliver the planes on time. And those airlines born after deregulation, the Southwest, the JetBlues, that have reinvented the way they do things, that are cheaper, more nimble, have happier employees, actually, some of whom are actually getting paid more, even though the costs are less for the airline as a whole, that are just doing the business better.
Mm. And hedging on fuel costs, of course, the act of purchasing ahead of time fuel, in many cases at lower prices, since we've all seen those fuel prices go up. And the companies that did that are today not having to spend as much to fly their planes around. It was smart financial management. The second potentially cynical question I want to ask you, Charlie, and this one you touched on briefly, it's about pensions. A big part of the decision to to announce bankruptcy for your airline these days for these companies has been that they can take their underfunded pensions and essentially have the U.S. government pick up on them instead of the companies themselves. So again, poor management leading to John Q. taxpayer ending up paying the pensions of the people working for these companies.
That's another really important point. I don't think people realize that they're going to end up paying part of the United pension. And that is because there is this pension guarantee institution that when United or the steel companies are notorious for shedding their pension funds, when they basically don't honor that pension commitment, the employees don't get the full pension that they were promised. However, they do get some fraction of it, and that is basically paid from an insurance agency sponsored by the government. Now, in theory, that should be a cost-neutral institution, that all the entities that have ongoing pension plans pay into it, just like banks pay into the FDIC for insurance on deposits at commercial banks. But what they've done in recent years is the payments that you pay into that insurance system have lagged way behind the obligations that they're likely going to have to pay out. And so we have two choices, really. We can either pour more tax money into that institution to make good on its commitments, or we can let it fail, in which case the workers at United and other places who've lost their pensions will get nothing.
Mm. I should note, by the way, I am a JetBlue shareholder, and it's unfortunate for me because JetBlue stock is down. I'm certainly in the red on that one. Why do you think, Charlie, airlines like Southwest and JetBlue have been profitable in such an unprofitable industry? You mentioned kind of post-regulation. What's the magic here?
Well, they've done a lot of little things right. If you look at Southwest, where they fly one kind of plane, they fly the 737, which means that it's faster to maintain them. If one plane goes out of commission, the plane you wheel in is exactly the same, so you don't have to reconfigure the seats. So they've done a lot of little things like that. If you look at the way you get seats on airplanes, the old airlines are still doing that. You kind of check in, they go through the computer, you move from 7A to 13B. It's not any bigger. And whereas Southwest came up with the A, B, and C. You get properly rewarded. If you get there early, you get a better seat and so on. That, of course, makes it faster every time they pull into a gate. So their turnarounds are shorter. And if their turnarounds are shorter, they can fly more flights and their cost structure is better. So those little things add up. And the other thing is their labor relations are just a lot better. The old airlines have basically, when you read about these bankruptcies, have just been saddled with kind of inflexible, expensive labor deals. And it's not just a function of how much they're paying their people, but it's also the rigidities that are built into the system, the hours they can work, who can be substituted for whom, and so on. The new upstart airlines basically have far more flexible labor relations.
To close, Charlie, I want to go back to that two-column approach you referenced earlier when you were evaluating the airline industry. For this question, though, column one would be strengths of Charlie Whelan, column two, weaknesses of Charlie Whelan. Could you just fill out our page a little bit for us?
Well, let me start with the weaknesses first. I'm often reminded of these in my daily family life. Tremendously impatient. Once trying to buy a Snickers bar in China, I actually climbed over the counter because I felt that the service was not what I was entitled to. Strengths, and I'm going to go with, you know, this is one of those Weasley things you do in an interview. I'm also going to go with the impatience as a strength, which is sometimes you poke a little and people do actually respond. Let me note for the record that I did actually get that Snickers bar, even after the woman had gone back to her desk and brought the out to lunch sign and put it right in front of my face.
Charlie Whelan is the author of Naked Economics. We understand he's not declaring bankruptcy this week himself. Charlie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.